prestigious Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois, adopted Thomas Obadiah Chisholm's song as the theme song for that great institution. And years later, Billy Graham and the Billy Graham Crusade would make the song of Thomas Obadiah Chisholm one of its featured songs sung by George Beverly Shea. And almost 120 years after he wrote that song, we are still singing it in our churches. And here are the words of the song. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have ever needed, thou hast provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. I remember in 1981, I drove from Huntsville, Alabama to New Orleans, Louisiana, where my brother lived at the time, in my 1975 Chevy Caprice. And I drove with this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, playing on my 8-track, not my iPod. And I played that song for 8 hours continuously. I just had it on replay. It was so meaningful to me that day, and as the years have gone by, that song and the divinely inspired words have been the theme of my life. I know that God has been faithful. And for those of you today who are students of the Bible, you know that Thomas Obadiah Chisholm's poem is in fact a poetic rendering of a scripture written by the great prophet Jeremiah and found in the book of Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 and onwards, where Jeremiah states, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And this idea that God, the God that we serve, is a faithful God, is at the foundation of the Christian faith. All of our hope in this world and all of our hope for the world to come is undergirded by this idea that God is faithful. And when we say that God is faithful, basically what we are saying is that God does what he says. Whatever God says he's going to do, God will do it. When we say God is faithful, we are saying in effect that God sustains what he creates. When we say God is faithful, we are saying that God finishes whatever God starts. Now notice it says, great is his faithfulness. Now we can't really say that about us, because we don't always do what we say, we don't always sustain what we create, and we don't always finish what we start. That's why the courts are filled with women struggling to get child support. Oh, we can sure create something, can't we? But we don't always sustain what we create. And we don't finish what we start. That's why there's so much divorce in this world today. We don't finish what we start. Now that's true of me, and that's true of every one of us in here today. But when it comes to God, God is faithful. God is dependable. He does what he says, sustains what he creates, and he finishes what he starts. Now when you thumb through the Bible and the pages of scripture, from the first amen in Genesis to the last hallelujah in Revelation, you will find this theme woven through the pages of Holy Writ, that God is He is the dominant note of the Psalms. It is the assumption behind everything God taught, and the underlying assumption behind everything he taught was that you could take this to the bank. God is faithful. Now, it is the conviction of all the prophets in the Bible. They are saying, my prophecy you can depend on because God is faithful. Consider with me just a few examples, ladies and gentlemen. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, the writer says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Consider Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is the God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and have mercy and hath mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He's faithful and he keeps his word. Consider what the New Testament says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. And consider Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. Now Joshua, as he summarizes the whole Exodus event and the wanderings of the children of Israel through the wilderness and the crossing of the Jordan into the land of Canaan, as Joshua looked over at Israel as they settled in Canaan and remembered from whence they came, and now they have houses they didn't build and they have vineyards they didn't plant, and he looked back over this divine landscape and gave a summary of why they are so blessed. And so he says in Joshua 21 and verse 43, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. Now what Joshua is saying is, God had promised their father Abraham 1,000 years earlier that Israel was going to live in the land. And here they are, God doing just what God said that he was going to do. Now look at verse 44. The Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. Their enemies couldn't get to them. He told their fathers, I'm going to keep the enemies away. And Joshua looked up and said, look at this. Everything God said was going to happen, it happened. And then verse 45 said, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Everything God said he was going to do came to pass because God is faithful. And that's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. That might not make sense to you until you stop to think what amen means. See, we use the word amen rather loosely in church. We just kind of throw it around very liberally. And it's a non-thinking response. But the word amen has power in it. It literally means certain, sure, definitely. And that is why you shouldn't say amen to everything. Because some things you're not certain about. But go back to the text. For all the promises of God are yea. Yes, it's going to happen. And in him, I am certain that everything God said is going to happen because of God's faithfulness. Now you can see the faithfulness of God if you just stop and think about it. If you ponder creation, you can see the faithfulness of God. Have you ever thought about how dependable creation is? What God creates, God sustains. Just think about it. On January the 1st, the earth will be in a certain position in relationship to the sun. And 365 days later, the earth will come back to the very place it was 365 days earlier. And it is only because of the mathematical dependency and dependability of this happening that you can have a calendar. Because you break your calendar up in months, 365 days based on the earth, coming back to its original point as it revolves around the sun. So you got January and September and the seasons. You already know how to dress in February. And you know how to dress in July. Because God governs it. It's dependable. Would you say amen, somebody? You already know that somewhere around March the 2nd, you're going to have an experience, what is called spring equinox. Which means you have an equal day and night on that one day. And they already told you that somewhere around September the 22nd, you're going to have fall equinox. Which means that on that day, you will have as much daylight as you have nighttime. They already know it's going to happen. And that is because of the dependability of nature. Because God is faithful in nature. And I'm going to tell you this, it's been happening every year. There has not been one year that spring didn't come. Not one year that summer didn't show up. Now there have been years you didn't show up in church. But there has not been one year that fall did not come. God never forgets to send summer. God never had to write you an apology saying, my bad. Because everything that God starts, God finishes. And everything God creates, God sustains. Now every day of your life, the sun has risen in the east and set in the west. And do you know why? Because God is faithful. You see, the sun, ladies and gentlemen, is in certain proximity to the earth. If it moves just one inch away from the earth, we will freeze. And if it moves one inch closer to the earth, we're going to burn up. Guess what? The sun has not moved one inch from the very day that God said, let there be light. Because God stuck it there and God holds it there because God is faithful. And I'm telling you this, you may worry about some stuff, but none of you have ever had a Malox moment wondering if the sun is going to rise in the east because of the faithfulness of God. Now if the sun broke down and if gravity failed, who's going to fix it? NASA? The Congress? They can't fix the economy. How are they going to fix the sun? But they don't have to fix it because of the faithfulness of God. Because whatever God creates, God sustains. That's why you folk who worry about life, worry about if you're going to eat or drink, where you're going to live, you need to stop worrying. Because worry has never paid a bill yet. And it's a sin to worry. When you worry, you slap God in his face. Say, God, you too busy. You got too many important things to be worrying about little me, what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink. And Matthew 6 says, you folk, if you're going to worry, worry about some big things. Like if you're going to be alive tomorrow to eat. But NASA doesn't have to fix the sun because God is faithful. Consider God's faithfulness every time you heat up water to 212 degrees. Every time you do it, it starts boiling. God said, I'm going to be faithful to 212. And when you heat it up to 212 degrees, it will boil. Every time you have a cup of decaffeinated coffee, Adventists need to know we don't eat and drink certain things. All that cola drinks, we don't drink them. We don't eat a little Miss Piggy every now and then. We don't. We have a strict diet. Would you say amen, somebody? The longer we have lived and the longer this church exists, there's some of these things that we start pushing aside and rationalizing that it's not important. But God says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Be careful what you eat and you drink. Every time you cool down water to 32 degrees Fahrenheit, God said, I'm going to make it turn to ice. So every time you drop some ice cubes into your ginger ale or your 7-Up, not your Pepsi, not your Coke, you should stop and say, thank you, Lord, you're faithful. Have you ever thought that there's 7 times more water than there is land? Water should envelop the land. Water should just cover all the land mass. But it doesn't. And the reason why it doesn't is because when God created the earth and the moon, he created spinning objects that create such centrifugal force so that it creates levees, which means the moon is God's levee. Now, levees broke that man built in New Orleans. But the levee God has made, God put that levee in the sky and said to the water, come only so far because of the faithfulness of God. Are y'all with me? In fact, when you read the God story in the Bible, have you noticed that the Bible never tries to prove that there is a God? It never gives you an argument for his existence. In fact, the Bible simply assumes that if you got any sense at all, that you would know that there is a God. So the Bible opens up, not in a defense of God, but it opens up this way. In the beginning, God. It doesn't argue for God. It just assumes that there is a God. Because Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. All you have to do is look around and say, you know what? Who made the rivers? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers that flow to the seas? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. That is why Paul says in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, my invisible attributes, my eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, because they are understood through what has been made. If you see creation, you might not know his name. And that is why when Helen Keller, who was blind and deaf, after Anne Sullivan had broken through her silence and darkness and deafness, they brought Philip Brooks, who was the preeminent preacher of that day, to introduce Jesus to her. And Philip Brooks started signing in her hand. She had been blind and deaf and nobody could get through to her. But he started communicating the idea of God to her. And she communicated back to Philip Brooks, I always knew him, I just didn't know his name. I don't have to prove the faithfulness of God just by creation. But secondly, I can prove this thing by contemplation. If you just stop to contemplate from whence you have come, where you started from, and where you are right now, then if you have any good sense, you should be saying, great is thy faithfulness. Don't you think that you have made it so far because you are proficient? It had nothing to do with your ingenuity. It had to do with the faithfulness of God. God has brought every one of us from a mighty long way. You just forgot how messed up you were, and God overrode your simplicity and your stupidity and blessed you anyhow. He has been faithful. That is why every time you think about what he has effected in your life, you ought to say, great is thy faithfulness. When you sit at your child's wedding, you should be saying, great is thy faithfulness. When your children graduate, you should be saying, great is thy faithfulness. If you have a little sanity, and some of you don't have much, but just a little bit is enough, you should be saying, great is thy faithfulness. If you have a job in an economy like this and a little place to call your own, just say, great is thy faithfulness. If you have a little hoopty and it takes you from point A to point B, just say, great is thy faithfulness. If you woke up this morning and you were able to put one foot in front of the other, just say, great is thy faithfulness. Every time you think about how your kids are doing and what they could be doing, you gotta say, great is thy faithfulness. Every time you think about how your kids are doing and they could have been somewhere else, you gotta say, great. Every time a bill comes to your house and you can pull out your checkbook, or you can go on online banking and you can pay that bill, just say, great. Every time you go to the doctor and the doctor says you're doing all right, you ought to shout, great is thy faithfulness. Food on your table and clothes on your back, he's been so good to you. I said, you and you and you and you and you, he's been good. Great you know, many of us are, we're not grateful because we are delusional. Because while we are singing, great is thy faithfulness, the angels are looking at us and they are singing, great is your foolishness. Because if we contrast ourselves with God, God is characterized by faithfulness. And you and I have been characterized by our foolishness. Now, many people say, well, God hasn't done anything for me. Thank you, by the way, for bringing this for me. I don't ever wipe while I'm preaching. You know why? I like to feel like I worked. By the sweat of thy brow. So it stays here. Amen, somebody. I'm going to tell you this. I might be the only person up here having a blast, but I'm working. You don't have to enjoy it. I'll do it for you. Amen, somebody. Most of the problems we have in our lives can be traced back not to the lack of God's faithfulness, but to some of our foolishness. Come and talk to me. Now don't act like you haven't been a fool. Don't act like you have not engaged in self-sabotage. Don't act like you haven't done some dumb stuff. I have a book in my library and the title of the book is, How Come Every Time I Get Stabbed in the Back, My Fingerprints Are on the Knife? Huh. It's our choices. You are the one that made that telephone call and now your life is a mess. Stay with me, stay with me. You are the one that invited him over and now you have cursed the day you met him. You are the one who allowed your emotions to become entangled with someone you know you should not have fallen in love with. I'm going to tell you this. Love is volitional. It's a choice you make. There's nothing called falling in love. I can't help myself. That's not love. That's lust. Because love puts good sense in your mind. And love gives you good judgment. And you're going to choose who you love. I'm going to tell you, I was 42 years old before I got married. I enjoyed being single. I can't understand. I just can't understand how single folk run around talking about, I can't stand being by myself. Well, if you can't stand being by yourself, who in the world want to be with you? You know, it's better to be single and wish you were married than married and wish you were single.
you're single, work on you. Get some education. Buy yourself your own car. Get yourself an apartment or your own house. Fix your hair. Put on something on your face. Amen, somebody. There's nothing holy about being ashy. Stop wearing all those big old clothing. Show off your body. Let somebody see it.
Yeah. Some of you need a new wardrobe.
Stop hanging around with five women at the same time. Everywhere you go, you got your gang. Go by yourself. Men are intimidated when they see five women all together. When you're single, enjoy your life. Nobody can tell you where to go, when to come, how to spend your money, who to talk to on the phone. Have a blast. Why in the world do you think that singleness is such a burden put on you by God? Date whoever you want. When you get sick of them, dump them. Go for something new. When you're married, you can't date no more. So love is a choice. Choose who you fall in love with. I made a choice. It was all intellectual. I told myself I pastored for 20 years as a single man. I'm a pastor the last 20 years of my life as a married man. So in my 20th year, I chose my wife. I told her, you're going to marry me. She said, what? I said, yeah, the date is June the 2nd. And that's who I married. And we got married on June the 2nd. She was scared not to show up. Choose who you give your affection to, young man. Young woman, choose who you go out on a date with. Don't feel so badly about yourself that every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the pike or the first one that shows up, you believe I got to be stuck with him. I know this ain't got nothing to do with your mortgage burning, but I'm having a good time all by myself. Might have something to do with some of you all are burning up. Amen, amen. Don't get entangled up with people who are not good for you. And some of you know who's not good for you. And you still go ahead. And then you blame God 5 years later when you get married, you got two kids, and you can't stand the sight of him because he's not treating you with tenderness. And then you say, God, why did you let me do it? It was God was still faithful to you. You were just being foolish when you chose him. God was trying to tell you, don't make a mess with him. But you insisted on messing with the fool. And now you are all jacked up. Your kids are crazy. Your money is funny. And you're all mad and angry like God did something to you. Oh, no, 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 no. God's been faithful while you've been foolish. You're the one that abused your body. And now everything is out of whack. And you're blaming God. You ate all kind of fried chicken all your life. Cholesterol is high, heart attack at 45, and you say, God, why did you let this happen to me? You were the fool. You were not thinking straight. God's been faithful. You've been foolish. You're the one that's addicted. You're the one who played around with recreational drugs and now you're hooked. God has been faithful while you've been foolish. We have been our own worst enemies, but even though we have messed up, God is so faithful that he did not allow us to be completely destroyed by our own stupidity, because God is faithful. In other words, God said, I'm going to stop them before they just completely mess themselves up. And that has to do with the faithfulness of God. And when you contemplate it, God has been faithful. There is a song that has blessed me over the years, and here are the words of that song. How many times must I prove how much I love you? How many ways my love for you I show? How many times must I rescue you from trouble for you to know just how much I love you? Then in the chorus, God says, woke you up this morning, clothed you in your right mind. When you walked upon a problem, didn't I step in right on time? Strength along life's journey, my angels carried you, so you would know just how much I love you. Then God continues to talk to us. He says, food on your table, showed up when the bills were due, when the pain was racking your body, sent down healing to you. Lost in sin and sorrow, I died to set you free, so you would know just how much I love you. God has been faithful. Well, God has not only been faithful in creation and in contemplation, but he's also faithful when there's a confrontation. The only reason why real Christians don't lose their minds when crises come is because of God. See, when Jeremiah said, great is thy faithfulness, it was during a crisis. This is the book of Lamentations, which means weep. Jeremiah's world had fallen apart and he had experienced a tsunami of pain. The Babylonians had come and destroyed Jerusalem and reduced Jerusalem to ashes and rubble, and there was nothing left. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you had nothing left. Everything was gone. And in the midst of not having anything, Jeremiah stood up and said, it is by thy mercies we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. Which is really to say, anybody can sing when you've got a job. But if you like Jeremiah, you learn to sing when you just lost your job and you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. Anybody can shout when you've got good health. Jeremiah is saying, great is thy faithfulness with chemo and lymph nodes all over your body. The reason why you can hope is not because of Congress or a black U.S. president or friends in high places. The reason why you've got hope is because your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, not you. You're too funny and fickle. I've been pastoring for 28 years, and I know church folk are the ficklest people in the world. They will love you as long as you're doing everything they like. But the day you decide to do something that you want to do, that they don't like, the same ones who want to crown you one day will curse you the next. That's why I got one principle as I pastor. I'm not trying to get anybody to love me. I don't care. I married a woman who loved me. My family loves me. I'm not looking for love. As I lead you, I want you to respect me, not love me. If you happen to love me, that's just a bonus. Amen, somebody. Because you see, when I go after your love, I'll make some terrible decisions. I'll make decisions so that you can love me. They wouldn't be wise. It wouldn't be in the best interest of the church. But when I make decisions based upon the fact you need to respect me for my principles that I live by, then we got something going on. Christ is faithful to take care of you. And notice what he says. Every morning, new mercies he's going to bring into your life. Listen to this. What Jesus is saying, and what is he talking about, is when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they did not know what they were going to eat, and they didn't know how they were going to survive, and they complained to God, and God said, Moses, tell the children of Israel that in the morning, just go to bed tonight, and in the morning, they're going to see some mercy. And when they woke up in the morning, all over the ground was the provisions of God. There were wafers on the ground that tasted like honey. They didn't know what it was, so they called it manna. Manna means, what is this? And whenever I cook for my children, they go to my wife and say, manna. So God said, eat it, but get only enough to get you through the day. Gather up 2 pints per person and don't hoard any. Don't ask for a take home box, because you don't need a take home box, because when the next day comes, there will be new mercies. I will have manna for you one day at a time. And one day you stay sane. The one way that you stay sane in a crazy world is to trust God one day at a time. I don't know about you, but I've learned literally to not worry about stuff I can't change. Now let me give you a principle that will revolutionize your life. I'm about to give it to you. If there's something in my life that I should change, could change, I should change it, because it's within my power to change it. But if there's something in my life that I can't change, I should never think about it, because I can't change it. You all miss that. If you get this principle and you go home tonight and put this as a part of your life's practice, it will change you forever. Because some of you are worrying about stuff. By the way, most of the things you worry about will never come to pass. And do you know what worry is? Worry is sitting in a rocking chair, rocking, hoping that you'll go somewhere, but when you're done rocking, you went nowhere. Worry has never paid a bill. Worry has never gotten you a husband. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about Sunday. I am going to trust God that he's got enough mercy to get me through Saturday. And when Sunday comes, he'll give me new mercies to get me through Sunday. And when Monday comes, he'll give me some Monday mercies. And when Tuesday comes, he'll give me some Tuesday mercies. Every day. All my 51 years on this earth, I've been given new mercies. 51 times 365 is 18,615 new mercies at least I've received. Which means that for me, God has been generous. And everybody here needs to think today about how good God has been to you. You know, we relate to God the way we relate to our spouses. Most wives Well, let me just tell you about me. My wife, every day, would give me a list about 15, 20 things to do. Every day. Big old yellow pad she'll put it on. And be honest with you, I try my best to make her happy. Because I know a happy wife is a happy life. I know that. I'm not a fool. recognize that whenever I get this list, I can get some things done. Some days I could get most of it done. I recognize that every time I went back home, my wife only pointed out the items I didn't get done. So I decided I was going to fix her one day. I took the yellow pad, put it in my car, and I did nothing. I came home. She said, did you get the groceries? Did you pick up the cleaning clothes from the cleaning? I said, no. She said, did you do that? I said, no. She said, what did you do? I said, nothing. She said, why? I said, because you don't appreciate what I do. You need to start saying, thank you, Jules. Thanks for the 5 things you did and the 25 you didn't get done. That's tomorrow's business. After that day, I had a thankful wife. Well, this is what we do with God. It's only what God has not done yet. He can bless you with a good wife, but you're worried about something else. He can bless you with money and a job, you're worried about you're not making enough money. Come on, say amen, somebody. We need to be thankful because God is faithful. Well, the good book says by his mercies we are not consumed. Some of you should have been wiped out long time ago. But it's because of his mercy. Some of us should have had some diseases that we are not suffering from right now. It's all his mercy. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't have the time to tell you what the Lord has brought me through, how many prayers he has answered, how many tight spots he has gotten me out of, how many days he has lifted up my bowed down head, how many times he has seen me through, how many opportunities he has created, how many times he has looked beyond my faults and has seen my needs, how many doors he has opened and how many doors he has shut. I don't deserve them all, but I'm thankful because God has been faithful to me. I didn't have to be here today. His faithfulness is evident in creation. It's very clear to me in contemplation. And his faithfulness does not fail in confrontation. But finally, great is thy faithfulness. Great faithfulness demands great faithfulness. If God's been faithful to you, you ought to be faithful. If you got a wife that's good to you and faithful to you, you should be faithful to her. My father and my mother were faithful to us as children. And they made certain we had everything we needed. And many times we got what we wanted. But my dad worked hard. My father was a contractor in New York. And I can remember him going up 6 flights of stairs. And when I was a teenager, I went and worked with him in the summer when we were all from school. And I saw my dad take 2 bags of cement and put them on his shoulder and walked up 6 flights of stairs. And went up to flash a roof at 100 degrees in the summer. And I was a teenager and I was working with him trying to get a little money from him. So hot, I said, Dad, I don't want to work no more. He said, go lay down somewhere. When that Friday evening came, I went to my mother and I said, tell Daddy I want my pay, my salary. My father said, what salary? You didn't work, but he still paid me. My father worked hard, provided for us, sent us to school. My mother worked as a domestic and would work day and night to provide for us. So when I became a man and I had a little money and I was working, wherever I traveled, I took my mom and dad. When I preached in Europe, I took them. When I preached in Hawaii, I took them with me. When I went throughout the United States and preached in different places, as long as they were available to go with me, I took them with me. Because great faithfulness demands great faithfulness. Count your blessings. Count your blessings and name them one by one. Faithful is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today because I'm going to recover it all. Faithful to serve him. Nobody should have to beg you to sing in the choir. Nobody should have to beg you to be an usher. Nobody should have to beg you to come to church. Faithfulness will make you sing even when you don't feel like it. Faithfulness will bring you to choir rehearsal when you're bone tired. You want to go home and skip rehearsal. But when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for you, you'll be faithful. Faithfulness will make you pay your tithe. I don't understand how in the world God could bless you with a job, bless you with health and happiness, give you a home, and you are not giving to God what is his. I tell you this, I don't know about your church, Pastor, this is me. At my church, I know everybody who's faithful and everybody who's naughty. If you don't return a faithful tithe, you're still a good member in my church. But you cannot stand up in the church and lead the church. If you can't be an elder and you are not paying a faithful tithe, and do you know the biggest mouths in church? At business meetings, a folk who don't support the church. And I got no apologies telling you, you need to sit down until you learn to be faithful to God. I honor your church for its liberality. Great is thy faithfulness. And a whole lot of folk who don't come to church because somebody made them mad. When I come here, I didn't come to see you. I'm happy if I did. But when I come here, I came to meet with God. There's nothing you can do to meet that badly that I wouldn't be here. You can talk about me all you want. There's one thing worse than being talked about. Do you know what that is? Not being talked about. And when I think about how far God has brought me, what shall I render unto the Lord? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If he woke you up this morning, then say so. If you can smile at the sun today, then say so. If you were able to pay your bills because God is faithful, then say so. If you used to be an emotional wreck and your relationships were a mess, but God gave you new confidence, then say so. If God's been good to you, say so. Great, great, great is God's faithfulness.